You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, we are going to discuss what's going on. The world outside is obviously very scary.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about it and how it's affecting soccer.
And we're going to talk about what soccer can do to change and what's happening. And also MLS is back. So we do talk about that as well. That and more today on the Cooligans.
Hi, this is Ashlyn Harris
and Allie Krieger. And you are listening to our best friends and favorite comedians.
The Cooligans, bitch.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, yeah. Baby.
I mean, it doesn't feel right to yell right now with excitement, you know?
I agree. So, this is definitely, going to feel a little bit more of a muted episode. But,
right.
it's not going to lack enthusiasm.
No, look, I mean, the question becomes, well, first of all, what are you listening to, right? You're probably wondering, what are you even watching? We are the Cooligans. This is Living Room FC.
My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite comedians that host the most serious soccer show that you have ever seen on
there
television.
Is no laughing allowed on this show. No, it's hopefully the funniest and hopefully the gulliest in the way we mean it, which is, you know, being brave and standing up for what you believe in, which was probably just a great segue into what's happening in the world today. Look, I mean, unless you just woke up out of a coma and someone put this show on television and you have no idea what's happening in the world. It's going through a bit of a rough period right now. And a lot of things are coming up to a head that have deserved to come to a head for a very long time.
Yeah. It's been a pretty stressful few days. And
months at this point, because it seems like one thing after another.
Yeah, you know what? We thought the quarantine was going to test us, you know, and really right. test our limits. But 2020 was like, nah, fam.
Right.
I got a little something extra for you.
2020 was like, oh, look, I found something else in my pocket. And we're like, no, 2020.
You just know, it reminds me of the Bad Bunny, the Instagram story that he did when he was it was like week one, maybe it was like day two of quarantine. And he was just like, he said, 2021, ven pronto.
Yeah. And he way too early.
Yeah.
But that has become the soundtrack of the rest of the year.
He did a premature, yell for the end of 2020.
If anything, he saw the future is what I speaking. Honestly, Bad Bunny might be able to tell the future to become completely honest with you. He's at a Botanica right now buying candles and statues of saints you've never heard of.
So look, obviously we are stand-up comedians. We host a comedy show about soccer.
Two things that don't exist right now, soccer and stand-up comedy.
Look at us,
couple of blockbusters.
But look, and we're this is going to be an interesting, next couple minutes, next, you know, whatever, 48 minutes of television, because we're going to try to, talk about what's going on, how we feel about it, and how it's affecting the soccer community, because the soccer community specifically has done a lot. It's been pretty incredible when it comes to protesting, activism, helping clean up, looting, the players themselves speaking out. In sports in general, when it comes to athletes speaking out, white athletes speaking out, of every race speaking out, brands speaking out. It's kind of insane. I've never seen such a quick and just incredibly fast impact to affect some sort of change. And people can agree or not agree, when it comes to riots and looting and those things that nobody supports. But it's this weird thing of like, man, people are listening for the first time in a very long time.
And also there's also like a sense of, you know, racial injustice, I always think, is such a weighted topic, but injustice isn't, right? Like injustice is something where people are like, well, no, just I hear that. And obviously that's wrong, right? There should be no injustice. There should be justice, racial injustice. And there's a segment of the population who's like, well, I'm just not convinced.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. You know what? That first word,
it's throwing
really...
me off for a reason. And it's making me second guess. How much I hate that second word.
Why are you muddying the waters?
Right.
And I'm just trying to talk about the law.
Right. No. We were talking about the law. I was with it. But now you've added this other thing. And to me, it's like brands should always, and it's important for us as comedians who have a show and are a partnership called the Cooligans. It's important for me that people know, like, whoa, like we support you as human beings and we support, you know, justice and equality, that's significant. Somebody gave us credit once for treating women's soccer as equal to men's. It's like, yeah, cause it's soccer. You know what I mean? And it's like, we try to help soccer in the world, but we're human beings. Christian and I are regular human beings. And you know, I look at what we do and I struggle to think, does somebody need to see this show? And I hope that, you know, over the next few minutes or over the next time you spend with us here, that maybe we could take your mind off of it a little bit. And maybe we could relieve some of the just overwhelming piling on, not letting go, more people showing up stress that has constantly been this year. You know, we've made a point to be like, no, we're going to continue to do the show from our living room because that's who we are. You know what I mean? We want to show you, even though there is no soccer, we want to show you that there's still fun to be had and there's still a good time. You know, a lot of that's been called into question, but we're trying our hardest to sort of give you something that alleviates something, anything. You know, yeah. It can't just be the booze. You know what I mean? It can't be that pile of edibles you've had in your drawer for months.
Don't tell me how to self-medicate.
Yeah. Oh, I found these pills that expired in 1986 in my grandmother's cupboard. Well, let's see what fermentation does. You know, to be honest,
Grandma was always happy.
Yeah. You know, she had both her knees replaced at the same time. Whatever this is high grade. You know, like for me, as a Latino, and specifically speaking, a mostly white passing Latino, you know, I grew up in a certain way where I've seen injustice and I've seen how evil, you know, being sort of profiled can be. But I'll never rate my experience to someone who walks out of the house and immediately, regardless of how they're dressed, regardless of what they say, regardless of what they do, regardless of what education they do or don't have, not that it matters, but any of those things matter, but regardless of that, they're treated the same way, which is despicably. And that's horrific. So like, where do we get off making jokes about the situation? We don't, you know. If we haven't said it before, we'll continue to say it because we have. And if you haven't seen us or heard us say it, justice should be brought upon those who deserve it in this situation. I feel horrible that George Floyd had to pass away the way he did, but also I feel bad for everyone who came before him and everyone's going to come after him because this is horrific and this is horrendous. And yeah, look, when we come back from break, we're gonna try to give a little bit of our experience or explain what how the soccer world has handled it. But yeah, I mean, I don't want anyone to sit here and think like, oh, these two guys are going to joke around and make a couple jokey jokes about the situation. There's nothing funny about it. And honestly, thank God stand-up doesn't exist right now, because I would hate to hear what some people have to say about this. Try to make a joke out of it.
Oh yeah, there'll be some interesting bits. Yeah. For the
green
most
room
part,
scuffles. You know what I mean? Because I don't
exactly. There's an interesting thing that's been happening. I think when we talk about people finally speaking out and listening, and people who are not black, and people in the soccer community, players, whoever, showing that kind of support, it is great. But then I think what's kind of happening is there seems to be you hope people are learning, but there seems to be a lack of an acknowledgement over either hypocrisy or past kind of mistakes. And one of them is like Leonardo Bonucci from Juventus, who posted the blackout Tuesday thing, the black square. And if you remember, in the past, Moise Kean, who played for Juventus, he was there last season. He was dealing, especially in Italy, how common is it for black players to hear monkey chants and just deal with racism, things thrown at them. And Bonucci was one of these people that was like, that he shouldn't, basically.
Yeah, he was like, the fans are wrong, but so was.
Yeah, for like antagonizing or all
how
this
How dare
other
you stand in one spot after scoring a goal? It's ridiculous. So, yeah, I mean, the comments, the replies to that tweet were, I mean, chef's kiss, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's been a, like as far as finding some sort of levity in all this, these are some of the things that we can laugh at as just the ridiculousness of some people of like, yo, you don't remember what happened a couple months ago?
Yeah, he's like, yo, racism is terrible. Just found out though.
Okay.
Turns out.
So, look, everybody.
Based on my independent research.
Let's start counting everything from right now. Once I hit send.
All right, so everybody synchronize, okay?
Yeah, so look, it is a... I think what's important to discuss and what I hope is that there is a... I hope that things don't go back to the way they were, where we sort of look past the monkey chants or the puto chant or all these things. Like it's easy. Oh, and then I'm not going to say it's easy, but there should be an effort made to police ourselves to some degree to make the person next to you better if they do choose to live their life that way or take some courage and bravery to say like, I mean, it's weird that it takes courage to be like, hey, Ralph, can you chill out with the monkey chants? Yeah. We don't really need that right now.
Guys, I hate to be a hero here, but let's not be racist towards this one person. Can we do that?
It feels very logical to us. But
look at Mother Teresa over here. Doesn't want to do monkey chants.
Oh, you see, I told you it's all that vegan cheese you've been having.
Oh, my guy has a salad once. All of a sudden he wants to save the world. Huh? I'm the bad guy because of the monkey chants. It's ridiculous. And shouts to clubs like West Bromwich Albion or Albion, which put up a we're in this together. It's a black background with white lettering that says we're all together or we're in this together. The West Brom logo. And somebody responded with pathetic. I'll be getting rid of my season tickets. And what is pathetic? The statement, we're in this together. What did you want? We're like, we're completely separate. So you guys handle it on your own. What did you want? And West Brom, to their credit, replied with, you won't be missed.
Yeah.
And, you know, what the passion that soccer fans feel and sort of the attachment they have to their club is unrivaled in any other sport. And I know that sounds like a cliche, but just watch any sports documentary when it comes to soccer, watch a soccer game. The attachment that the club and the significance of the club to the play, to the fans' lives is unrivaled by a long shot in any other sport. There's no other sport that has this level of sort of almost like codependency of the fan and the club. So for a club to say, you know what, we don't need you, shouts to you, because a lot of clubs wouldn't have that sort of courage. Clubs like the Knicks, who just haven't said a damn thing. In fact, sent out an email being like, look, I don't think it's really our place. I've never even met a black person. Like, what?
I mean, honestly, if I come across one, I may say something, but
eventually, you know, I mostly look at the chest because they're so tall. So I can't make eye contact with a black person and talk to them. So when I do, eventually.
All I can see is the Knicks logo and their number. That's
about it. That's it. And you know, the number, they all add up. We're unified as far numbers.
I think the public pressure, not just to speak about this stuff and to talk about how aberrant it is and the behavior, but it really says something when the clubs, you know, the fans are going to be like, if, you know, we've seen it already from a lot of people. They say like, if my club does not say something, I will no longer support it. And when it comes to, you know, it's difficult and it's very cynical to say, but, you know, they only really care about money. And I'm hoping that the message comes across, but this is how you have to affect people financially before they start paying attention to the social issue that you are bringing up. And it's unfair because it says the thing about, you know, the looting and the thing.
Until it affects your pocket, you're not going to care.
Yeah.
And look, I'm going to catch some flack for what I'm about to say, but just understand that this comes from my personal experience. Growing up in a city like Newark, until the certain specific neighborhoods were touched, nobody cared. You know, the neighborhood I grew up in the North Ward could have been burned to the ground and nobody would have given a shit. And look, I'm not saying nobody would have given a shit, but on a global scale, no one would care. The moment the Ironbound gets touched, which was a majority Portuguese neighborhood, the moment the danger slips into that neighborhood, that's when the police department at that time would spring into action and give a shit. That's when people, when politicians would come out of the woodwork and give a shit. And this is like, I'm not saying I'm welling up, but I remember these things vividly. All right. I grew up towards the end of the crack era. And I know what it's like to see schools with teachers just not showing up. I know what it's like to see after school programs stripped. I know what it's like to see kids be let out of school with nothing to do, nowhere to go. They feel unsafe at home. They have nothing to do. And until the voice of someone who doesn't, a child cries because they don't know how to say I'm upset. A child screams because they don't know how to say I'm uncomfortable. That doesn't go away until you're much older. A teenager can say they're uncomfortable. They do not know how to express that. So what they do is they go and they do whatever their version of screaming is. I did stupid stuff. I did graffiti for a long time. I've been in stolen cars. I did stupid things because I didn't know how to express myself. And that's what's happening. Now, do I think stores should be looted? And do I think that people who live in those neighborhoods should be made to feel unsafe or uncomfortable? Absolutely not. And it sucks. But I got to be honest, people weren't saying anything until some building started to burn in Minnesota. People weren't, it's a bunch of people protect. Then, I mean, a lot of people came out and said that what they saw with the George Floyd being murdered was horrific. A lot of people said that. So I'm not saying that. But think about how it wasn't until people really started to go for it that a lot of politicians and a lot of other people started being like, yo, I didn't see a lot coming out from businesses until that either, saying we're behind you, blah, blah, blah. It sometimes needs that. Now, look, I think the point has been made. I hope for the safety of a lot of the people. I've seen a lot of video of New York City that scares me. Okay. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't know exactly the dangers they're getting themselves into. And there's kids running into these things, just trying to get shoes and pants. And it's like, fam, go home. This is not safe. You know what I mean? It ain't worth it. A pair of ball mains ain't worth your life. Okay.
Yeah. It's getting to the point where it's beyond the message or the symbol or when it comes to, it's okay to be outraged. We all understand that. We know that feeling. We know anger. But it has to at some point, you know, you can't just keep throwing punches at each other. It has to be like, all right, let's discuss why we're upset. It's gone too far, you know, but it shouldn't discredit why it's happening. That's the frustrating thing. And this is the
most important thing is what caused this.
Exactly.
What's happening now?
I'm getting into arguments with, you know, like, my girlfriend is white. She's arguing with her family members who have a different worldview. And it's just like, nah, fam, like we're going to have these.
You could say trash worldview. It's our show. This is your show. Your girl's family ain't here. They got a trash ass worldview. Cause I got family members doing the same thing. I married a white woman, kind of lightly white. She's Italian from Jersey, you know, right? She ain't really a Becky. She's more of a throw a plate at you while you're sleeping because she had a dream that you were cheating on her. Right. So it's a little bit different, but you know what I mean?
You still shouldn't have done it.
I messed up in her dream and I will apologize anytime I see her pick up a knife.
Yeah. Honey, you sleepwalking again?
You good, baby girl? I whisper in her ear, I love you. I don't know her. We've been talking a lot about sort of all everything that's been going on in the world lately. But one of the things that I do want to make sure we talk about is just how incredible soccer supporters have been. And we've seen this in, you know, like a lot of the Arab Spring in remember in Turkey when Galatasaray and Fenerbahce or was it Besiktas fans came together, just, you know, fans that have been battling and rivaling for years come together when it comes to something regarding politics. We're seeing a lot of the same thing in America when it comes to MLS supporters. And it's honestly a beautiful thing to see. I mean, MLS supporters, for the lack of a better term, are just very, very well organized groups, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when you think of soccer supporters in general, if you are in a supporters group, you are a part of something that is well organized.
Sounds like we're talking about a gang. We're not. You know, it's well organized. We're watching you.
No, it is a, you know, and we've seen it when we go to the Independent Supporters Council and meet these people and meet the leaders of. It feels a little bit of speaking of gangs, but like when all the families,
the five families get together. All right, we're talking about organized crime. They are organized, but they are. Organized. It's just that they're not criminals. But you know, if there was no pandemic and soccer was happening, you best believe we'd be seeing a lot of TIFOs, and you best believe we'd be seeing a lot of displays of unity, and a lot of that would be led by the supporters groups. And I want to make sure we're not going to sit here and name every one of them, but there's a ton. And if you are a fan, or especially a casual fan of soccer in America, consider joining one of these supporters groups, because what they're doing is absolutely incredible. They're organizing food, drinks, water. They're getting together information of places to go pee for supporters, to use the bathroom, to you know, sort of make sure that everyone stays safe. And they're organizing calls to politicians to make sure that, you know, change happens on a political scale and so on and so forth. It's absolutely amazing. And it makes me so happy to be a fan of soccer, seeing how so many people are, how the level of importance people are placing on something like this.
And the great thing is that it's always like that. And it isn't just because of what's going on. You know, when we went to Portland and hung out with Sheba at the Van Laden, and hearing about everything that, you know, we all know Timber's Army, but Timber's Army is just part of a bigger organization called 107 IS, which is a charity and that does a lot of things for the, you know, they offer scholarships to kids to play soccer in different places in Portland and things like that. So it's great to see, because there's a it's inspiring, and you know we're trying to follow their lead realistically, because they're, you know, we know people that were tear gassed and dealing with this stuff on the front lines, and the stuff is scary, man. I'm like on my Instagram stories and seeing photos, and I'm like, yeah.
People
have
been on this show. Mel D. Cole got attacked at a store. He's a photographer. He was yelling photographer, and he straight up got beaten without any question being asked by a police officer. Thank God it stopped. I don't know, but he was yelling photographer. He's like, stop, photographer. Like, what about the reporter for FC, the beat writer for FC Cincinnati. Just got completely taken down as he's crossing, as if he's a reporter. Yeah. And he completely gets taken down and arrested. I mean, you know, we're seeing other reporters just get pelted with those pepper guns, which, you know, the pepper pellets, like they're almost like paintballs, right? Yeah. With pepper spray in them. We're seeing so many horrific things. But back to the purpose of soccer, it's even players that we've spoken to that have said, like, sorry, I couldn't reach back out to you. I was out handing water and snacks. And it's especially in Minnesota. This is, I hope that, you know, people can start to see, like, you know what, maybe we don't need, because the leadership isn't coming from the top. Sorry to say.
Yeah.
Like, you've heard the speeches. It's ridiculous. Let's tear gas players. So I mean, let's tear gas fans or the fans.
I think people. that might be the next thing he does.
Yeah. Just launches. He's called National Guard of Orlando for if MLS decides to do it. But, you know, the peaceful protest is getting tear gas, so the guy can take a picture in front of a church. It's absolutely ridiculous. So to see, hopefully the people realize, you know what, we can unify ourselves. We don't need it to come from the top.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
It's infuriating, and you see the players themselves. We saw Jadon Sancho out in Germany scoring a goal. Hakimi also scoring a goal, and under his shirt you see that it says "Justice for George Floyd."
How about the dude from Mönchengladbach?
Marcus taking a knee. Liverpool with the photo, they're all on one knee at the center of the
Chelsea
pitch.
Chelsea as well. Chelsea made an age for humanity. I mean,
the video is so brutal and so bad and so clear, and as everyone has seen it, that the entire world can't even ignore it like they're normally used to.
Yeah.
And where everybody is like, it's embarrassing if you don't respond. And that's the thing that is we've seen other videos, and it's just like, and there's still people that are like, well, what was he doing before that?
Yeah.
But it's just gotten to the point where like that argument has gotten so absurd and so ridiculous that all your favorite footballers, regardless of color,
right,
have to say something. Otherwise they will be scolded by the rest of us.
The guy you hope to get in a FIFA Ultimate Team pack, that guy has said something, and you're still like, but I don't know. What is wrong with you?
Exactly, exactly.
So uncles and aunts, fast forward yet again.
do some Clockwork Orange and force them to stay in the room and watch.
You're going to listen to these two idiots.
No, man, but Derek Etienne Jr., obviously, friend of the show, was just on the show a couple months ago, signed with the Columbus Crew, and he posted a very, unfortunate and sad
But
story.
Way all too common, unfortunately, as well.
Yeah, about getting pulled over
twice
amid all the protests that are going on in Columbus. We've seen a lot of footage of police just going ham, being absolutely wild and ridiculous. And Derek Etienne talked about getting pulled over twice on the same, I think on the same ride home, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know. I don't remember the exact details, but two of the officers on one of the stop said that he looked like he had warrants.
Which is, it's if you don't know as that's leaving your mouth that that's racist, then there you probably shouldn't be in a place where you're allowed to stop people in a car.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
I'm glad that he's okay. I'm glad that he is safe and that nothing serious happened. You know, we know that just because you are a professional athlete or whatever, or some celebrity, that doesn't protect you from necessarily anything.
Right.
But hearing stuff like this, it's all too common, right? I mean, I've been stopped by police. I've dealt with it. I've seen so many stories and I'm glad that people are sharing them, and also it's resonating with some people, because I think this police brutality and all this aggressive use of force is all you hope at the very least is that other white people are like, oh, I feel like black people
is this what they're talking about? Is it because they're using police brutality to counter a protest about police brutality?
Seems counterproductive, but okay, I guess.
Yeah. That's like protesting diabetes by just eating lard. You know what I mean?
That'll teach them.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I'm eating candy to own the lips.
Yeah, dude. Oh, you want to take my foot? Get ready for a second one. To me, it's ridiculous. But I look at someone like Derek Etienne Jr. and I think, thank God. Thank God he didn't do what friends I have might have done, which is mouth off. Right. And who knows how that would have happened. And look, I don't think that equates to him. He should have been mistreated if he did. But I know some of the dudes I grew up with, some of the dudes who I consider friends, some of the dudes you and I share as friends, they might not have had the ability to maybe stand there and maybe be as sort of whatever it is that Derek did at that moment that got him to leave that situation unscathed. Thank God.
Yeah, there is. When I've been pulled over, there is a new level of awareness that a fight or flight, every single move, every digit, I'm like, I know where my hands are. I am speaking with the wild, just changing my tone, code switching.
I did that. You know what I did by mistake? I called the police officer, Your Honor. Dead ass. I took the key out of my ignition and I put it on the roof of my car and I put my wrists on 10 and 2 and my hands were out. And the guy's like, the hell's wrong with you? Why'd you put your keys on the roof? I'm like, I want you to know I'm not going anywhere, Your Honor. And he's like, Your Honor. He was just, like, man, bro, your blinker's out.
apologies, Senator. What?
My just, bad, sir. Is it?
Sire? Or is that what we're using?
Esquire? What do we say? What do you tell me what to say. Like, my wife is always like, why don't you keep the insurance in the glove compartment? I don't keep anything in the glove compartment. I'm not leaning over to that thing. No doubt.
I tattoo my information on my forehead. Okay?
Hell no. Where's mine? It's on the roof. It's laminated to the roof of the car. So he can, you want to see it? It's there for you, buddy. Don't you dare.
Look, my, hearing this about Derek more than anything, I'm just, you know, he's a young guy. He's a young guy. And there's a certain level of concern and fear. And I hope that you know, everybody, the Columbus Crew supporters are also like, you know, it hurts them too. And I just hope that awareness kind of trickles down to say that the culture of policing is completely flawed and it needs to change. Because the absolute, you know, end of the spectrum is, you know, Derek getting injured or beaten or something like that. But the microaggression of you look like you have warrants is going to make it even more fearful the next time he is pulled over.
Especially in a city that he now calls home.
Exactly. So you just want change, and that's all people are asking for. All right. So we'll be back with more after this.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the show so far. We just want to give you a word from, this isn't really a sponsor, but this is a great place to donate, I think, in light of everything that's happening.
Yeah, there's a lot of people have just kind of wondered what they can do to help and how to support with either the protests or talking about police reform or just getting more informed or anything like that. There's a bunch of people doing great work kind of compiling all that information. And one of them that was really, really great was a link. It's called blacklivesmatters.card.co.
With two R's in card.
Correct. And again, Black Lives Matters. .card with two R's .co. And if you go to our Twitter page, just at Soccer Cooligans, it's our pinned tweet. You can click on it. You can see.
It's a big resource. It tells you like a lot of different places you can sign petitions, how to text who and how to text or call, where to donate, even more resources.
Exactly. And even information for if you're a protester, what to bring with you, what best practices, how to stay safe. There's a lot of information there. That I found super useful. There's also another link. If you just look at that thread, there's a link called secure.actblue.com, which is if you want to donate. Some people don't know who to donate to. There's a lot of there's just a lot of places that you can help support, and it could be overwhelming or confusing.
Or you don't know how much to give who. You know,
you don't even know if it's real, right? That's been another like concern. But this is another. A great opportunity if you do want to donate. Like you can donate to, you basically make one donation and it splits it amongst about like 10 different groups. Like,
so I'll read them. It's Black Lives Matter Global Network, Reclaim the Block, National Bailout, Black Visions Collective, NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, the National Police Accountability Project, Color of Change Education Fund, Unicorn Riot, Campaign Zero, Advancement Project, and the Marshall Project. So one donation to act to secure .actblue.com/donate/AB_MN, which again you could just click on it if you go to our social media, but one if you go to our Twitter, I should say, if you one donation will split that up amongst all of those different groups, so you'll be able to support the entire lot in one chunk, which is absolutely amazing.
Exactly. So please do that. If I know a lot of people are not in a place to be able to donate, but this is why looking at that resource from you know the card.co link, there's other things that you can do, and it's not if you don't have money at the moment. There's other ways you can help. So I encourage everybody to check that out. All we can say is thank you for listening to the show, for supporting, for protesting, for fighting for what is right and trying to initiate real change in the world. So we appreciate you. With that said, let's get back to the show.
All right, welcome back. And we are here with some good news as we are recording.
Positive
this,
news. Right? Positive news. Because the world's right. Still crumbling, but.
Okay, yeah, this is similar to John Krasinski's Some Good News. This will be this part of the show.
You know, he sold that for like a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Speaking of good news. He's like, homie, best news of all, I'm out. Y'all figure this shit out.
No, Major League Soccer, we have confirmed, will be making a return.
That's right.
The players and the owners, the players agreed to the collective bargaining agreement. There was a couple iffy moments there where we thought we might have a lockout.
Yeah, they threatened a lockout. Iffy. I mean, that's pretty legit. It's like, if you don't make for dinner what I want, I'm getting a divorce. That's literally what just happened.
You're really taking us to a 10.
Wow, jeez. What movies have you been watching? But I mean, a lockout is pretty drastic, but apparently the bluff was called. More negotiations happened.
Would have been a huge mistake, and if people are not aware of why there was a possibility of MLS not returning, it was because they had to agree on the CBA, which weirdly enough was not ratified before the season began, especially after how difficult it was to negotiate. They should have signed it, I don't know why they did not do that. The plan was to do it in the middle of the season.
We'll handle it later. Let's just get out there.
Didn't really
seems important.
Yeah, especially with how crazy it was, because we didn't even think we would have a season this year. You would have thought that they would have, made that a priority to do that. But whatever, it is what it is. At least
we figured it out. In the end, it seems like we're having a season. Yeah, that's so important. And I don't know if you guys followed this. They tried to add a force majeure into the CBA, which only the Montreal Impact understood what that even meant. Right? They were just like, what do you guys think? It's French. Thierry, get over here.
Why are they
here
throwing these curveballs at us?
Okay. Well, then I will add a pero que coño to the contract if we're just going to start adding international flair, a little sazon, a little mirepoix in the contract.
Yeah, and that clause in particular was kind of the owners wanted a clause pretty much suggesting that if in the following season, if MLS stadiums didn't meet certain attendance,
drop below 25% of the last season's attendance.
Yeah, if it didn't reach the attendance numbers that they wanted, they could basically nullify the CBA. That's when you say that you're not coming to the table with having some good faith negotiations.
Yeah. Goodwill out the window. There's will, but they're the good part.
Yeah, it's really cute that you all are playing soccer and stuff, but I want my money.
Yeah, okay? Here's the thing. I know we all want to get back, but if one of you looks at me wrong, I'm taking all your money. Can you add that to the contract?
I know this is your career and everything you worked for. This is your dream come true. But honestly, if I don't get, those 35 cents back, I'm ending this whole thing, all right?
How's everyone's family doing? Good, good. Do you want to see them starve? Because if you don't, then I suggest I get my money.
It was a little excessive. So I'm glad. So we know now that you can go with the Athletic had reported it. MLSPA announced they put out a statement. So you can get all the details on the Athletic where we saw it announced.
By the way, the Athletic is doing absolute incredible work. Insane.
But we know for sure that pretty much by June 24th, players will start training. Some players will, some teams will go to Orlando, which is where the tournament will be held. I don't know what the tournament's going to be called. It should be an interesting thing. Also, we should mention the NWSL also announced the NWSL Challenge Cup. So we have that as well. So we're going to have a lot of soccer this summer.
Which is incredible.
From the men's and women's
Although
league.
Although the NWSL is going to do it in Utah, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So
both teams, both leagues going into the middle of nowhere, Orlando.
Sorry to all our Utah and Florida fans.
Sorry. I can't believe Christian wrote that in the transcript. transcript for me to say. My, we know. My teleprompter.
Yes. Imagine if there was a teleprompter for this show. I don't think Alexis would know how to read it.
I may not be able to understand what it says, but if I wrote it myself, no one else would understand what it says. But I got it.
No, but exciting from MLS and NWSL. At least we know now. So by pretty much beginning or mid-July, MLS will be back and they will be playing games. And there's a bunch of different, like, interesting things, details about, you know, for like, let's say with NWSL, their agreement said that if players did not want to opt in, they will still get paid, which is great. To see
incredible.
MLS does not have that.
No, MLS specifically does not have that.
But they do have a thing that if one of the players, if their partner is pregnant, they do have exemptions, so they can opt out in that way. So at least there is, you know, again, some discussion of trying to do this as safely as possible. They're going to do similar things to what they did in Germany.
A lot of people do believe though that those clauses for both leagues are ways for the superstars to not have to go. Like, people do believe that the NWSL put in some sort of parachutes for the like national team players, and the whole pregnancy thing is like, that's a way for Chicharito to not have to go, and because his girl's pregnant. Like, there were all these clauses put in there to be like, look, we might not get these DPs.
Makes sense, you know, regardless of if you're a superstar or not. You know, it is being away. The tournament, I believe, is going to be 6 weeks. And I don't know what it means for, what the details of, like, what it means towards the regular season. I know some of the results are going to go towards the regular season. Are they going to go right into the playoffs? Are they going to end the season pretty much where we normally do? Stuff like that. So
yeah, there's a lot to talk about. And we were talking a little bit earlier in the show about just some of the solidarity that a lot of these soccer players have shown, but also some leagues and some national teams have shown some solidarity. Does it all come free of any past grievances? Some of them are pulling Bonucci's, I'm just going to say.
I think the main thing, and this goes to pretty much every organization, whether it's a national team, whether it is a league, whether it's a club, we got the receipts. We all got the receipts, and this is not the time to be disingenuous, right? And we were talking earlier a lot about, like, whether corporations are putting out statements and all this other stuff, but like, when their past doesn't really represent what they are kind of putting out right now. And one of them, US Soccer put out their message for, like, solidarity and support. And what were all the comments and the responses is basically Megan Rapinoe kneeling.
Where was this energy before, when Megan Rapinoe was kneeling and she was the only one doing it in soccer? They passed a rule that no one was allowed. MLS did the same thing, by the way. No one was allowed to kneel during the national anthem. Now, here's the thing. It would have been worse if they didn't show solidarity in this moment. If they said nothing. Silence is way louder than saying something that has previous grievances. But now it's, how honest were you with that show of solidarity? What are some of the changes you're going to make? What are some of the things that players have said have gone on, or how they felt that you're going to make changes for?
This could be the time for cleansing and saying, hey, this is where we messed up. We shouldn't have done this. We shouldn't have introduced this rule that the players couldn't kneel. I mean, like, now everybody's, obviously saying, like, Colin Kaepernick tried it, and he was doing exactly the peaceful protest that you wanted,
right?
And you weren't listening. And not everybody wants Kaepernick. They want him on their shows, and please talk about this, because to do a big fat "I told you so" kind of thing. And it's like, nah, we're not. He's not interested in doing that right now, because it's obvious. So the hypocrisy is pretty absurd. And not only it would be nice to it's nice to see the solidarity, but
don't forget that U.S. Soccer has new leadership, right?
Yeah.
This is a real chance. This is an absolute opportunity to show the world that those words and that show of solidarity wasn't hollow. And I do believe that there's an opportunity here to change what happened in the past.
I just hope their messaging towards black people is a little bit better than their messaging towards women. So because they have a recent bad track record when it comes to that.
Let's just hope that there's no lawsuit that we have to hear from how U.S. soccer feels about minorities in any way, shape, or form.
No, man. I'm joking around, but the main thing is like for all these, within soccer, outside of soccer, like just say you were wrong.
Yeah,
it's fine to show support and solidarity, but it's much more important to just be like, our bad. We didn't do the right thing. And right. That I think people would take that much more seriously and to have a level of just understanding and self-awareness to be able to say that. So that's it.
Also,
that's
how easy is it? You can blame it on somebody else. Be like, wait, it was that dude. Remember, he's gone, though. It's so easy to do. It's so easy to do right now.
Okay, we know the Alexa strategy. Follow the Alexa strategy, even.
It's
this emoji. Okay.
Yeah.
It's
just honestly, I mean, you have a way of saying, like, there's all this promise about ushering in a new era and the solidarity. Prove it. You know what I mean? Make those changes.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult, you know?
Yeah, it is a there have been did you see the Ben and Jerry's statement?
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, who would have thought Ben and Jerry's would come out here flaming everybody?
when they saw how the Nike SB Dunks went, they were like, we got to rep for our peoples. Yo, they straight up said dismantle white supremacy. Like, they did not pull back at all. They didn't hold back at all.
Yeah,
they were not
afraid. Care if cops eat ice cream. You ain't don't eat my ice cream.
Yeah, nah, son, this ain't for you. Slap it at it. I mean, jokes aside, something like that, people are like, I don't care what brands say. To some degree, it's important. You have to show the world that even the people that sort of are, because there's difference between, and this I think is also a common in the conversation with U.S. soccer. We know some of the people that work there. They're incredible people. But how the organization acts is also important. So it's not just the individual people, how the organization. I'm sure some of the people that work at Ben and Jerry's are absolutely incredible people. But when a statement like that is put out, now it's also the shirt you're wearing. Now it's also the organization you work for. Now it's the place that you're working at that represents who you are, now also represents you as a member of society. And it's a beautiful thing to see. So it's great when an organization does it. But, you know, obviously follow up Ben and Jerry's. They were like, no, we got this. I see some of y'all just putting up, you know, a couple hashtags and a couple emojis.
A couple black squares. No.
Let me show you what I can do. I'm going to write inside my black square if y'all don't mind. Just let me see if this message gets across. And I couldn't have asked for an organization to do anything better. And in fact, did you see the guy who owns the franchisee who owns tons and tons and tons of fast food restaurants, Popeyes and Taco Bell's and Wendy's, tons of Wendy's, is giving more money to the Trump campaign. So it's like at a time when these organizations that claim to be, you know, progressive are secretly not so progressive. You've got people like Ben and Jerry, both of them, they're both real as fuck. They both came out and they were like, nah, son, bullshit back here. Let me tell you what's really happening.
Yeah, man. And you made the point about like how that kind of statement it permeates through the culture and systemically, right? We talk about
word for word what I said.
The systemic issues that we have with U.S. soccer when it comes to policing. We're not talking about specific individuals.
No, no. You
know, occasionally we are, but there's a bigger problem that everyone is complicit in, and it's look, I'm not comparing police brutality to running a soccer right. federation, but when it comes to systemic issues, the being aware of like the you
what
know
you
microscopically
need to change and what did I not do to help.
Exactly. And, yeah. and macroscopically, which is like, yo, this is rotten from inside out when I look at it from afar. So that is important to be aware of. And I'm just glad an ice cream company.
Endoscopically, because sometimes you got to look inside yourself. Colonoscopic. You know what I mean? Get inside. Correct. Look through the dirt.
Thank you for joining us today, because I know it was not easy. Maybe it wasn't easy to watch or listen. and it definitely wasn't easy for us, but we tried our best to bring some levity and at least point a light on exactly what's going on.
It's hard for us. We don't want to just give you a break from what's happening, but hopefully we can sort of alleviate just the constant stress. And if you're out there and if you're protesting, we thank you and please stay safe. Please.
Yeah. That's, thank you to everybody. We love all these soccer. We see all the soccer supporters that are out protesting, out supported. The soccer community is
incredible.
Just as much a part of trying to instill change and things like that. And we love you and support you. So yes, definitely stay safe. So again, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you. Make sure you follow at Soccer Cooligans, at Fubo Sports, and stay safe out there. So, with that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, and together, what are we? The Cooligans.